Here.
Yeah, I'm really surprised how many folks are here this morning because it's really coming down. So, I don't think so. No, I told him, I said the only way it'll get to the place where I'll get distracted is if I can't see the other side of the street. And then I'll just say class dismissed because at that point. So, yeah, I've seen it like this a lot lately. So, yeah. Well, Father, we thank you for another opportunity to get together. And Lord, as it's raining and snowing outside, Lord, we know that Lord, you're reigning in this place right now with your presence. And so we just ask today, Lord, that as we worship and as we communicate your word, Lord, that you would allow our hearts to receive, Lord, everything that you have for us today. I pray, Lord, that whatever has been in our lives, Lord, as Jesse said, sometimes it takes three or four songs for him to get to the place where stuff has fallen off of him for the week. That's kind of the same with all of us, Lord. And I just pray that whatever has been holding us back, whatever's been holding us down and causing us, Lord, to maybe even be depressed, I pray today, Lord, that as we enter into your presence, as we worship, Lord, that you would allow those things to fall off of us. That as the song says, every chain would be broken off of our lives today. And Lord, we just pray right now that you would allow, Lord, us to draw close to you. Your word says, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us, Lord. So we draw near to you in our hearts right now. Lord, we choose to step closer. We choose to draw closer to you. And we just ask, Lord, that as we do, Lord, that we would become more like you. We would be changed from glory to glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Your name is above every other name. Your name is above sickness. Your name is above disease. Your name is above depression, Lord. Your name is above lack. Lord, your name is above every other name. And Lord, we acknowledge your name today, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would be acknowledged in our lives, Lord, by your name. We just yield and we surrender, Lord, to your work, your name in our lives, Lord. Everything that tries to exalt itself in our life, Lord, above your name, Lord, we just submit and we surrender it to you now. Lord, whether it be our work, whether it be our hobbies, whether it be anything else, Lord, that we put in front of you, Lord, we ask that your name would be above everything in our life. And Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, however you have to awaken us, Lord, or show us things, Lord, we just open our hearts to that today. We just ask, Lord, that you would be number one, that you would be the preeminent name in our life, Lord, the name that is above every other name. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess someday at your name, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we might as well do it now. We might as well get used to it now. We might as well be bowers and confessors now, Lord, instead of in that day when it will be without excuse, Lord. We just pray today, Lord, that we would learn how to praise you. We would learn how to worship you even better than we do. That we would live lives of worship, Lord. As it says in Romans 12, Lord, that would be our reasonable service, is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to you, surrendered and yielded to the one whose name is above everything. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Moses.
Bless you all this morning. Yes, what a wonderful name it is. I'm just going to share my heart this morning. Just coming to service all week, actually. Be encouraged. Be encouraged is the word. Just be encouraged. Step into your faith. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. We've all experienced it here in our lives when we said yes to him. It was a life-changing experience. And that power dwells within you. And we have to let him just let it go. Peter was about to let it go when he stepped out of the boat. Man, he was that close. Everybody like, whoa, why didn't you do it, Peter? But he did after Jesus left and left, sent the Comforter. The Spirit was so heavy in him that even his shadow, people got in his shadow, got healed. There's power in what we have received. Don't look at your circumstances. It's tough, especially in this environment right now. The elephant in the room is, where is everybody at? Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Keep your hand on the plow. Keep going forward. Be encouraged on what God is doing in your life and be an example and be that shining light, because that's what people are looking for. That's what they are desiring. You be that shining light. Because there's a lot of unsaved people still in Yakima, all the way down the Lower Valley. Be encouraged. Lift up your spirits. Lift up your head. You serve a mighty and living God, and He dwells within you. He lives in our hearts. That's what the Bible tells us all, and I feel it when I step into it. And we can have that every single day of our lives if you're willing to step into that. That's the power of Jesus, not because I'm great or you're great. It's because the one who's in me is greater. That's what the Word says. You have to allow that to flow in your life. Keep your head up. Be encouraged. Our political situation, whoo, you don't know heads or tails from it. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because God is still in control. It didn't matter the political scene in the Roman times when Jesus was walking the earth. He still performed miracles. And He turned the world upside down. Your salvation did not come from the government or government program or anything else. Your salvation came from the Almighty Kingdom. Amen. The one who can never take, man can't take that away. Be encouraged. Step into your faith. Right or left. Step into your faith. Walk in it every single day of your life. You know, we're going through something, you know, yesterday me and my wife got to praying. She's feeling a little sick, you know, and I go, I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of that. You know, and I had to step into my faith. As a husband, as a leader of my home, and you know, and do we believe this or not? That was the question. Do we believe this or not? And then the question of the time, why do we need to go to church? I'm good. Exactly, Jesse. You're down here to repent. I love you, Jesse. You know, and I started really dwelling on that. Why do we need to come to church? What's going on? You know. And I was sharing this on the way here with my wife. She's the one that gets to hear me ramble all the time. I bounce it out for her. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? You got approved. Yeah. Yes. I did. But I told her because I would forget. So, and one thing that, and I started asking her, why do we need to come to church? One of them was instruction, and the other one was encouragement. The relationship is up to you. The relationship is up to you. How intimate do you want to get with Him? We're here to instruct. You know, we go over verses. We learn. We encourage, and we can encourage each other. And again, we also come to worship. Worship comes from your heart. But again, that worship comes with a relationship also. If you have no relationship, there's no worship. You don't know what we're praising, what we're worshiping. But be encouraged this morning. I'm going to just continue sharing my heart, if you don't mind, Pastor. And the signs of the times, you know. We see a lot of... One of my greatest fears is, you know, you read in the Bible in the end times that many will be deceived. And I bow down every day and I say, Lord, let my heart seek after You. I don't want to be deceived in the last days. I don't want to be one of them, you know. I'm like, it's a great fear for me, you know. You read that. But when we're working hand in hand with that relationship we have with God, we don't have to worry about that. You know, like I said, the political scene is pretty volatile. And it's crazy. It's crazy out there, you know. And ideas are going back and forth. And, you know, whatever you may think of our president, whatever, you know, I don't think man will ever be happy. Who's ever in charge, you know. Man chose Saul and he still had his faults, and God anointed David and he still had his faults. One question that I ask myself, you know, they say all this about the president, and I prayed for both presidents. It's up to us Christians, as we believe the Bible tells us, to pray for our leaders. Doesn't matter if you like them or not, you know, we have to pray for our leaders. And you know, you go on thinking about that. You know, politics is the theme of the day, you know, all the time. And you're just like, well, Lord, where are you in all this? Where are you in all this? But something is happening in the spiritual realm. Ask for the spirit of discernment. Jump into that. Because it's crazy what's happening. You see it all around you, but you're like, what is this? What is this? What is this? You know? And you feel it in your spirit, and I'm asking the Lord, well, what's happening? There's a quickening happening, and let it happen in your spirit. Open up your spirit. Ask the Lord for discernment. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged. It's something awesome. You know, when I think of Peter and just people who passed, he was so filled with the Holy Ghost that people just got into his shadow and they were healed. You know, they criticized him for not stepping out of the boat or almost drowning, but when you're that filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, he didn't fail. You're not going to fail, because that same Spirit that dwells in him dwells in you. Amen. You are filled with that Holy Spirit. The Comforter came to help us out during these times, to give us direction. Do not be discouraged. One step at a time. As long as it's forward. One step at a time. If you have to do an inch at a time, that's great. Don't matter. Just keep going. Keep your hand on the plow, the Word of God says. Don't look back. Sometimes it's hard when you're ill. Sometimes it's hard in your finances. Sometimes it's hard in your marriage. Sometimes it's hard with your kids. Sometimes... but just keep plugging away, because the Word of God is true. He is an awesome God. And each and every one of us have him in us. Learn to live in the kingdom, no matter how hard it may be, no matter how hard the circumstance. If you have a warrior spirit, plow through it. Come against them in the name of Jesus. If you have the worshiping spirit, if you're a worshiper, scream to the top of your lungs and sing away like my mom always did. I always used to hear her in the top of her lungs in the house. It didn't matter. She would just be singing every praise song she could. You know. And if you're a reader and a studier, read more. Pray more. If you're a prayer warrior, but activate what's in you already. Activate it already. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be looking back. Activated. He's encouraging you. He wants you to grasp it, just like he wanted Peter to grasp it. Get this. His disciples, get it, guys. Get it. It's right there before you. It's in your heart. Grab it. Be encouraged this morning. Amen. Bless you all. Love you all. Amen. Thank you.
Just a little tagline on that, Moses. The Lord was speaking to me and saying that, and if you can't worship, and if you can't be encouraged by reading, and if you, I don't know what else you said, but I do know what you said, but I can't remember. Then we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. That's what Scripture says. That mm-hmm. means we need to call one another. It should not be just one, you know what I mean? And say, I'm struggling. Hey, you know, the whole thing about it, guys, life is real. And I think we need to start being real. Amen?
Be real.
Yeah.
You're real back. Oh, awesome. Sorry. It's amazing how much you just start to just get used to someone being there. I had my back turned. I flipped it on and started talking, and they're like, people are shaking their head at me down here. And I look up, and you're missing. And I'm thinking, well, we're all here. So it wasn't the rapture, right? So, because they're like shaking. I don't know where you went.
It's like, it was reversed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, the evil one's being taken away? Is that what you're
saying? We read it all wrong.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So we're going to be starting a new series, and I think it will be one that will be exciting and plus very challenging, enlightening, and instructional. You guys, I know, have to leave, so. Love you, bless you. Drive safe.
Thank you.
They're going to take Junior to work. And by the time they would get back in this weather, it'd be...
Oh, yeah. Drive safe, you guys.
Love
you.
So.
Panda, do you want to come over here and sit over here? No? Okay. Just checking.
We're good.
She didn't like us.
So John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 today is all we'll be able to get through. We're going to start in the first chapter of John, and we'll just see how long we go.
Where we go.
If the Lord changes direction. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So the book of John is an interesting book. He's one of the four disciples or apostles that wrote a New Testament book. And his, I think, was possibly the last book. And he was a lover of Jesus, like all the disciples, but he also acknowledged a love for Jesus, or a love that Jesus had for him in his book than any other disciple.
Right.
He is the disciple that Jesus came and visited and gave the book of Revelation to. So he is kind of a standout disciple. And so because of that, that relationship and the way that he viewed... can you guys move over there? Then I can... like. One shot, right?
Do you want to move over here, too?
Move over?
The table.
Oh, do we need to move the table? Would that help?
No, we're good.
We're good. Thank you. All of a sudden, I could feel myself, and you're just like, he's not even acknowledging us. Yeah. But John was a unique disciple apostle. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say he was the one that Jesus loved. It says it in the New Testament 5 times. And it's
the disciple that Jesus loved. Yep.
The disciple that Jesus loved, not disciples with an S.
Right.
So there was something about him. Go ahead.
And I'm sure Jesus loved all his disciples, but John realized that love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've shared before, but that's one of the things that the Lord really has brought to my heart is that I'm loved. And I'm not loved because of what I do. I'm not loved because I pastor. I'm not loved because I read my Bible. I'm not loved because I do everything on my checklist. I'm just loved. And I think that's one thing John realized. I don't think John was perfect. You know, I'm sure he had his, you know, issues. We see him with his brother, and they're sitting there saying, "Hey, can we sit on your right hand, your left hand?" So, I mean, he definitely had some, you know, some issues with pride and stuff. But bottom line, he understood the love of Jesus and the love of God.
Well, when you say the word realized, it's not like a aha moment, I don't think. I think it's more about the recognition that it's returned.
Right.
In a greater way. And do we live that way ourselves? I mean, do we live like Jesus really loves us, or do we live like Jesus is going to squash us like a bug if we do something wrong? You know? And that's...
And so where the other disciples or apostles ended up writing their epistles of the New Testament, Mark, who was a kind of a friend of Peter's and worked hand in hand with Peter. That's most likely where he got all his information. Matthew and Luke, they all kind of write real historical accounts. I mean, not that John doesn't write historical accounts, but John gets into the mystery of who Jesus is, where the others get into who Jesus was and what he did, what he accomplished, and his love for mankind and his wonderful teachings. Not that John doesn't have wonderful teachings included, but John gets into a deep depth
of
the heart of the matter. And so you can see that from this very first verse, that he is going back to basically Genesis, and he's communicating by the Holy Spirit that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made.
Well, you were saying too that, you know, Matthew and Luke and then Mark got it from Peter, but John was there with Jesus. Like he had the up close and personal. He laid his head on Jesus' shoulder. Like, he laid back against him. I mean, you know, this wasn't just something that he heard about and reported about. This was something he lived. This was something he experienced. And you can tell from the book of John,
Gospels.
Four Gospels, yeah. That you can see that this is more of a personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very personal, but it's personal so that we can be personal. I think it shows us that we're able to have this same relationship. We're able to do it just like this and even more because of what the promise the Lord gave. So
when somebody comes to the Lord or somebody's seeking God, they say, you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I encourage them to read the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're going to get a picture of Jesus that really is personal,
right,
really communicates to you how much Jesus is involved in our lives and how much power and glory and majesty he has. So let's look at Genesis 1, because the contrast is really amazing. We'll look at Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice the in the beginning. John started with in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 starts with in the beginning. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now I did something interesting here, because in each of these verses there are three mentions of God. And I think we're getting the Trinity. We're getting the Godhead right here. We see God the Father in creation. We see the Spirit of God in creation. And then we see the Word of God in creation right there in those first three verses. And it's amazing how in the same way John communicates those truths to us. So John was definitely tight with the Holy Spirit. So here's a little picture that I got off the internet. Obviously, this is all speculation and everything, but it just shows you the hand of God involved in creation. You know, I don't know what is the Spirit hovering, or it just shows that something very magnificent was taking place in the beginning. I don't think any of us could even begin to fathom the depths of what God did to create our existence.
Right.
and what it was intended for. I don't think even in the scriptures that we can read, I don't think we can get the full intent of how much love was in creation. That it was all motivated by love. It wasn't motivated by something that he could, you know, wow, look what I created. It was all motivated by love.
Right.
And so I don't think we can really grasp that concept. I've got a few pictures through here, but okay, so Hebrews 1:10 is another one that has in the beginning. And it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." This is most likely the Apostle Paul communicating in Hebrews the idea that in the beginning, creation was founded, and the earth and the heavens at creation, which Genesis 1:1, of course, communicates as well as John. So let's go to John verse 1, and we'll take a look at this a little bit. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, I made "in the beginning" in a green color because I wanted to point out that notice it says "in the beginning," not "from the beginning." Now, some people have a hard time with that, that the idea that God doesn't have a beginning, that he is a always existing entity, that he does not have a beginning and an end. He is the beginning and the end. If there is a beginning of something, he is in it. And if there's an end of something, he is in it. But himself, there is no beginning or end. Now that right there is, I don't think any of us can grasp that in our brain, because what it does, it short circuits our finite life that we have here. Because to us, this is, you know, so temporal, so short, that it's and has a beginning. We are born and has an end, that it's hard for us to even comprehend what it would mean to be something that has no start, just exists. Mm-hmm. Does that hurt your brain as much as it hurts mine? It doesn't hurt Jerry's brain. Jerry's down with it. It's all good. But it's not from the beginning. It is in the beginning. And now I've taught a little bit about the Greek. This is the word en or end, so it literally means in the midst of the beginning. So it's almost like the Word is involved in the midst of the beginning, which makes sense because we see back in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth when he spoke it into existence. In verse 3, he continues that creation with the creation of light. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look here at verse 1 a little bit more. "In the beginning was the Word." The Word always existed. I always already communicated that. "The Word was with God." So this makes it sound like the Word and God were like side by side. But it's more like the Word was with God in that the Word came out of God. It was God's intent, God's heart. One of the things that we have to grasp is that we are a triune being. We are, just as we're looking in Genesis 1:1, and that means that we're a Trinity. We have a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Right. Now, there's different ways you can communicate that, but our spirit is the part of us that is the connected in the internal now. If we know Christ, we know God, we're now connected in the eternal already. There's a part of us that is already connected in eternity. There is a part of us that is already in the endless state. We don't seem to grasp it as much, again, because it's in the unseen. But the truth of the matter is, there is a part of us that is eternal already. Now, there's a part of us that's our soul, and our soul, for the most part, is the part that communicates out of the Word. For God, He is a spirit, says that in John 4, as a matter of fact, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, he says, listen, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth, because God is spirit. God is spirit, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God is spirit. But we also know that God is Word. He's communication, and that's what Jesus was. He was the Word part of God. Is anybody confused? Are you confused?
No, I just love it that the kids nowadays are saying word.
Word.
However yeah. you do that, I'm not with it.
I think it's what you say, word.
To me,
no?
I think that's cool. Huh?
No, Tim's shaking his head. Don't
yeah.
do it that way.
But yeah, I know it's not like I'm not hip or nothing, but to me, I find it very interesting that they've actually started saying that. Quit laughing at me, Gina.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right on. They say word. Like when you say something that is
like
really,
really
right on, I would say right on. They would now say, excuse me, word.
Word, right.
And the word was God. So here's another deep theological truth that Jesus wasn't just with God. He wasn't just in the beginning with God, but he was God. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus was on the earth, he said to the disciples, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Again, guess what book we got that out of? We got that out of John. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Because
right.
I and the Father are one. And so there was no distinction between Jesus here on earth even and the Word that created all of mankind and all of everything that we know. Are there any questions up to this point? Yes. Ezekiel? Right.
Right.
Yeah. The dry bones. Right. Out of the prophet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's good.
It was necessary.
Yeah, that's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I know we're not going to do any justice repeating that, but we're all blessed. Let's put it that way. Go that's look so up good. Ezekiel's dry bones, and I'm telling who's ever listening, and check out where Ezekiel speaks to let the bones come alive.
There because it was already inside him.
It was already inside of him.
He just had to, by obedience, speak it out.
And but it's a perfect application that the intent was there for God, but the prophet needed to speak for it to be fulfilled. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, so let's take a look at this word in the help word studies. I like the way it communicates it here. So the word is logos. Now, in the Greek, there are two really words for word. And one is logos, the other is rhema. Rhema is a personal communication to you that you receive from the Lord. Rhema would be like, I like to describe it this way. The logos would be, hey, let's all go to the store. So the logos is telling kind of everybody, let's all go to the store. The rhema would be if I said, hey, Jerry, would you please go to Albertsons for us? What I have just now done is changed it from a general logos word, all of us go to the store, or could someone go to the store, and to a personal rhema, Jerry, would you please go to the store, Albertsons, and get us some milk or something like that?
Yeah, we're out of milk. That's good.
Yeah, there we go.
But you can't say no.
But the point is, it's a logos is the spoken word that is the intent of God for, you know, all of mankind. Now, I believe that within rhema can even come, logos can be used.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can read the Bible. I could read a scripture here. And it could be the logos word. All of us hear that word. And then as the Holy Spirit wills, he puts a different twist on that word for each one of our hearts personally. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've shared a message. And I've had somebody come up to me afterwards and they said, oh, when you were saying that, and they were like communicating something that I didn't even say, but went along with exactly what I was saying. So it's like they were being taught by God in my message.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think I covered that like that, but Holy Spirit made up the difference because he knows what we need.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's good.
So here's the logos word as described by the help word studies. A word being the expression of a thought or a saying. So if we were to put this in the context that Jesus is the logos, the word that was with God, it is a word or the word that was the expression or thought of God. So God's thoughts, God's expressions was the Word. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or the Word in the Bible is also preeminently used of Christ. So in the New Testament, when we see usually the word used in the expression, especially when it's the Word, we'll see that you can almost always replace it with Christ. Okay? Oh, here's another one. Expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. So let's look at John 1:14. How are we doing time-wise? Okay, I think we're doing okay. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we'll later on get to John 1:14. We'll break it down. But this is the Word that was spoken up in John 1:1 and 1:2 that is now becoming flesh. So the Word's becoming flesh, thus Jesus. Does everybody see that the Word becomes flesh, becomes Jesus? If we go on, we'll see that, of course, this expression of what's become flesh is Jesus. So if we go back up to John 1, and we replace the Word with Jesus, you can actually read it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now, if you ever come across somebody who says, no, Jesus is not God, try that little expression with them, not trick, but try to communicate to them that way, that it's very clear, even in chapter 1, that Jesus was God. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses, they believe that in the Greek, that this is saying Jesus was a God. And that is where they get off on their theology, that they don't believe that Jesus was God. They just believe he was a God. Well, when you start taking Jesus down that road, now you've got, who was he then, really? Mm-hmm. Because if he says that he was God, and you're saying he wasn't God, then he was either a liar, a lunatic, or he really is God and he's our Lord. Mm-hmm.
The Go word ahead. Dwelt right there, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that actually it means to make a home.
Habitation.
Habitat, mm-hmm. Yeah, to have habitation there. And so if we recognize that Jesus made a choice to become flesh and live among us, he made that choice, then because he could have said, hey, wait, I'll just, when I turn, you know, when I turn 30 and, you know, the 3 years that I need to come and do that, or even better that, yeah, I'll just come the week before Easter. I'll ride in on the donkey. I'll do all that stuff. I'll die and go to the grave and I'll get up and then I'll go back to heaven. I mean, he's the one that chose to come as flesh, because it says the Word became flesh and he did it for us. So we have to remember that dwelt doesn't just mean that he did not hang around sight unseen. He was in the midst of all of that going on. He chose to be in the midst of us. He chose that.
Amen. Yeah, God chose to come in an incarnation of man.
Right.
Okay. So here's another picture of in the beginning. I really like this one. It just shows kind of, because it says the work of his hands. So you can see that kind of looks like things are being created all around there. So again, artist's rendition. So let's go to John 1:2. He was in the beginning with God. Now I really like the New Living Translation of this verse. He existed in the beginning with God. So again, this is talking about, it's not like he was back at the beginning starting to exist with God. No, that word was in the Greek literally means having pre-existed or having existed in a state. So he existed in the beginning with God. Bible Basic English says, this word was from the first in relation with God. Now if you think about it, our words are like in relationship with us when you think about it, because out of the abundance of our heart our mouth speaks. And so there's a relationship of with what we say and a relationship of who we are. And so that relationship that God had with his own word. And I know this is hard for some people to get because we're so used to having everything so figured out. And so not being able to truly understand how God could be three and yet
one
is difficult. But take it by faith. By faith, believe this. God is three in one. So let's look at Revelation 1:8 to communicate this a little bit. Again, what we're looking at here is he was in the beginning with God. Let's see what Jesus says about himself when he's talking to the Apostle John when he's giving him the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He gives four expressions of himself here. He was the Alpha and the Omega. Which, if you know anything about the Greek language, the Alpha and the Omega was the beginning and the last of their alphabet. Mm-hmm. We could say, I am the A and I am the Z. In the Hebrew, it was that I am the Aleph and I am the Tav. And so what he's saying is, I am the beginning, I am the end. So it's not like, you know, I have a beginning and I have an end. He is it. If something exists, for instance, who knows when angels were created? Now, angels at some point were created. They're a created being. But to them, they have a beginning. But to God, they were his beginning and they were his end. Just as now, he is our beginning and is our end. So then he goes on to say, I'm the beginning and the end, says the Lord who is. So in other words, I am in a place of existence now. I am a place of who was, and I am also the who is to come. Now, some of us can't relate, well, most of us can't relate to this, that he is in a state of the is, he also is in a state of the was, and he's also in the state of the is to come. He's in all of that at one time. It's time for the parade illustration, isn't it? Okay, so The reason I'm going to give you this little illustration because this kind of helps us grasp a little bit about how God's omnipotence and omnipresence and omnitimeness, I would call it, works. Let's say we're at a parade. There was a parade the other day on TV, the inauguration parade, and there were people that were sitting in a grandstand area. And those people sitting in a grandstand area would see the parade as it passes by. Now, the parade was, I don't know how long. There were probably, say a mile worth of stuff. And so when the parade started, they could see what was coming. And they could see it from a certain amount of an angle. And they could see what was in front of them. And they could see for a little bit what was going away from them. But they didn't know what was coming around the corner unless they had some kind of brochure that was telling them. Their sight was unable to see all of that. And that's kind of the way we are. We have a certain point of time that we get dropped in, and we can see back a certain ways. Better if we're historians, we can see a little bit, and the history we're reading is true. And we can see a little bit into the future based upon, you know, what's going on. But really, we're limited about this time. You know, most people in 1960 would have never considered somebody like Donald Trump being, much less last year. I mean, there's been no way because, I mean, it was such a heavy-duty political system back then that there was not room for that kind of stuff. But today, we now look at that and say, well, that happened, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody back then would say, oh, you're kidding, that would never happen, you know. For all we know, past presidents would have gotten the same kind of treatment because there was no way to see how that was going to happen. But let's say this. Let's say that you're in a helicopter and you're viewing the same parade, but now you're seeing it from the beginning to the end. You can see what's at the very back and you can see what's at the very front. As it is in the case of time, God sees all of time at one time. Does that make sense? He could still look back and see all of creation, and he can look back, look forward and see what would be considered our future. No end for us, hopefully, right? But that's what makes him the who is and the who was and the is to come. He's not saying I was once and I am now, and I will be sometime, but he's saying, I am all of these things at this time. The Almighty. I would say that's Almighty. I would say that's a pretty powerful description. Any questions? Did I throw people off? Did I explain it good enough? Or
I just have to say, yesterday I came out of the kitchen and I said, I just stopped and all of a sudden it dawned on me. Donald J. Trump, the Celebrity Apprentice guy, is the President of the United States. Like, you know, like I'm just like, I said, can you believe it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a unusual circumstance, to say the least. Yeah. John 1:3, let's take a look at this. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Now again, this is getting back to Genesis 1:1, the whole idea that creation comes from him. We were in Romans 11:36, I believe it was, and we were learning that all things come from him, go through him, and back to him. That is another one of those scriptures that's very, very, very deep. So this is communicating in John 1:3, the same type of principle. All things are through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. You're making those faces.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's so cute.
He is. I agree. Okay, so here's another translation. This is God's Word translation.
I like this one.
Everything came into existence through him. Not one thing that exists was made without him.
I love that.
So everything that we know, everything that ever has been, I guess, become anything, comes from him. Mm-hmm. And Colossians 1:16 and 17 says it this way. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Again, all things have come from him. Even the principalities and the powers and the rulers in all the heavenlies, they've all come from him. And they are all created for him. So everything that has been created was created for him. And when we are created, when we've come into being, we've been created for him. We've come into being to be his. And that's pretty much what happens to us as Christians. We learn that God wants us, that we're wanted. I don't care how unwanted you felt in your life, you are wanted. God wants you. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want you for a trophy, he wants you for intimacy and personal relationship, mm-hmm. which is amazing, which is something that John understood. Mm-hmm. And then we have in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. I think that's very interesting. By the breath of his mouth, what would that be considered? Speech. The word coming out of him, speaking. That's why those, when they show his hands and stuff, that's all amazing. But I almost like to see something speaking and watching it all come out. Because I believe everything that's been created has come out of him and spoken out of him. That's why it's so important for us to get a handle on our tongue. And not let us, Moses, if we're in a state of disappointment or frustration or lack of hope, not let that come out of us and just talk that all the time where we create what we're expecting. Mm-hmm. Instead, like he said, have hope. Mm-hmm. If you have to read the back of the book, we win.
Be encouraged.
Be encouraged. You know, we're not going out in the second round of the playoffs, you know. We're not Seattle Seahawks this year. You know, we win. We win the Super Bowl of existence. And there are going to be, you know, scrimmages that seem that we're losing at points. Personally, what's that? One bad play.
One bad play.
But we threw it. God didn't. Yeah. We dropped the ball. He didn't. Yeah. He threw the pass. No pun intended. But football was a great analogy, though.
That's
so
very good.
So, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11:3 says it this way. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now notice the word. Again, getting back to that. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by Jesus. Of God or from God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So again, everything that we see has come from an unseen realm. Now, science will teach you this if you can spend enough time reading about it and weighing through it. But that's one thing they're understanding, that what exists here has some kind of other placement somewhere. It's like...
It came from somewhere.
It came from somewhere. Well, they would almost say it almost exists at possibly the same time that there's we're not just locally here, which the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. And what?
It had a beginning.
Oh, and it had a beginning. Very good. It hasn't always been here.
Correct.
Right.
And that wasn't always their take before.
Right.
They're just now beginning to agree with the word.
They're getting back to
They're
the beginning.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it's the foolishness of this world that you know, it's
the wise.
Well, the foolish things of this world confounds the wise, and that's us. But those who are trying to be wise literally become fools because they're trying to figure it out with all of their natural knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, scientists go to school, learn and learn and learn and learn. And yes, they get truths and they understand new mysteries. And I mean, you know, doctors at one point thought that, you know, you needed to bleed people to make them better. I mean, obviously, we know that that wasn't a good idea because the life was in the blood.
Right.
So science helped discover that, no, we need to keep the blood in them. As a matter of fact, we need to get more blood in them.
Right.
You know, but at one point they believed that bleeding people so was, which I cannot see how they got that. But by faith, we understand. What?
They weren't reading the word.
The life is in the blood. Exactly. By faith, we understand. I want to add that in that chapter, too, because I think that's important that they were bleeding people at one point, that we as Christians don't understand the power of the blood. But it was even in the natural for a long time. We didn't understand the power of the blood. Anyway, I digress. We got to hurry. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So here's another nice one. This is kind of a nice in the beginning. I don't know exactly. That looks like probably something that they got from the Hubble somewhere, you know, but it's still kind of a neat look. What?
Well, I think that's
He even knows the place. That's geeky to know that actual picture's location.
Cool geeky, but
cool
geeky,
geeky but yeah, definitely geeky. Okay, moving on. Okay, so John 1:1a, this is the first part of it, the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. I like this. I wanted to bring it. So within a beginning, so he's bringing out that Greek word. So within the beginning, in other words, there was a beginning and God was in that beginning. He was involved in that beginning. It says here, he was in union with headship and sovereignty. There was the logos. So he's using literally the term logos, which meant the word, the thought, the collection of thoughts, the idea, the reason, the discourse, the communication, the verbal expression. That all is explaining the word logos. So that's a breath. And the logos, the idea, the thought, the expression, the word, I condensed it, was facing or directing and moving. So this word that we get, hang on a second here, I got to go back. I can leave that there, hold on. Hang on. Because I want us to understand that, there we go. So when it's saying here, that word with God, It's saying a lot more than what we're picking up. It's talking about directed and moving forward towards God. It's the Greek word pros. And so you could almost say that it was continued being face to face with God. Very intimate. And I would say that our words are very intimate expression of who we are. Would you not say?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Would you guys say that our words carry who we are? If you think about it, so you could say something out of your mouth and it can come from you, and someone can leave with you connected on them. And if you've said bad words, they can literally leave and be hurt and wounded. And it will require you to speak out something else from you that will make that better, because our words carry the weight of who we are.
Power of life and death.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with God. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus came, he was God's word to us. His thoughts, his intents. And it says, and the Logos, the word, continued being God. So in other words, Jesus just continued existing as God because he was his word and they can't be separated. And I think that's it. And thank you, Lord, that that's it. That was a lot. Kate said, I told you. So does anyone have anything that they want to add or correct? Addendum, anything. Any input? Any revelation that you've also received while reading this John yourself and picked up something? No one. Are you thinking or are you just waiting?
I was just waiting. Jesse, do you have something?
I just was reading the Colossians, the complete Jewish Bible. I like the way Colossians 1:17 reads.
Okay. He holds everything together. I didn't emphasize that, but that's a very good point, that all things are being held together by God. There is, again, scientific research that's going on to find out what is the element that basically keeps everything from falling apart. Because they look at it and they say, this doesn't make sense why it continues to stay in the structure that it is. So there's something outside of them up to this point that they can't see what holds everything together. Guess what it is? Huh?
They have a name for it, even though they don't know what it is. It's called zero point energy,
which doesn't make any sense because zero point energy seems like nothing.
They named it.
Laminin is what's in us that's holding us together.
Laminin's what holds us together, exactly. It is the part of our whole being that literally holds all our cells together. And laminin, if you guys ever look it up, is in the shape of a cross, which is very interesting.
Lou Giglio,
you can look up laminin. I highly recommend watching the video.
We've seen it.
Moses. Oh, they were in opposition with each other all the time.
But as Christians, you know, I always thought with the big today, you know, Christians don't, you know, we're science. We believe in science, not faith.
Right.
You know, but as Christians, you know, we believe that. I always thought, man, we believe in science, but not junk science.
Exactly.
You know, and there's a lot out. And I remember listening to a sermon one time, and in the medical field, you see a lot of.
Oh, yes.
You know,
putting them under anesthesia? Yeah. Right, they battle against what the Bible says.
But if you see it from a good biblical point of view, it backs it up. I mean, I always go back and tell the kids, who
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. He is the greatest scientist. So we should be scientists. Science shouldn't be a dirty word. But how many Christians were thinking for a while science was like a dirty word? I mean, when I was, you know, an early Christian, I was like, you know, science, oh no, you know, we're of faith, you know, and it almost like became this battle that faith would overcome science. But if you look at it, science was developed in faith, as we see in Hebrews 11:3, that we know by faith that the worlds were created. Right. You know, I was thinking about that. So did it require God to have faith to speak the world into existence? Then I would say yes, he's the origin of faith. He had confidence in what he was speaking, and everything became. So he is the author of even faith. Anyone else?
It also goes with signs, too. You know, that was another thing.
What was that?
The wonders.
Signs and wonders. You know, you kind of look back and you ask, where are the signs? What, you know, you read in biblical times, you know, even to announce the birth of the star.
Right.
And you kind of wonder, where are the signs of the day? You know, but that's what we're going to be thinking. You have that discernment. You have to be spiritually keen.
Right. Oh, wow.
You know, so I started seeing all these signs of everything going back and forth.
Wow.
And then this morning I was reading another article, and they said they excavated, you know, in the 1960s, where King Herod had the kingdom, they found a jar with seeds. And they were dated back 2,000 years, over 2,000 years and stuff, and they were in the museum in Tel Aviv.
I'm going to plant one.
And it grew, and it was an extinct palm tree.
Oh, wow.
And they showed it in Israel growing already, you know.
That's cool.
And you're just like, for me, my thing was like, everything's returning.
Yeah.
What's happening? You know, I guess that's my question, what I'm thinking, and where I'm at. You know? And so all of a sudden I started becoming more keen. What's going around in the spiritual realm?
Right. I remember I was teaching our youth one time, and I was talking about the walls of Jericho, and you know how it says that the walls went down. They didn't crumble. They went down into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they have actually found the ruins, and they have excavated away the dirt, and the walls are still standing as they
pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were pushed into the earth, and they are still intact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody thought that, you know, they're climbing over all this rubble. They're literally pushed into the earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for speaking through both Gay and myself and others. We pray, God, that you would continue to expand, Lord, what we've heard today in our hearts. Holy Spirit, teach us in areas that we weren't able to communicate out of our own limitations, Lord. Holy Spirit, you take the place and you come in and you speak to us, Lord, and teach us those things that we need to know. The truths, Lord, that we need to walk in these days, Lord. What helps bring us home, Lord, into you, who you want and desire us to be. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.